let's welcome Dad Minister William Thomas.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Dad.
And I don't know. I'm so overjoyed, really, that God would bless myself, my wife, with a new baby boy. Kind of pleased that he's quiet this morning. You might not know that he was here if you didn't see my wife. But I am pleased to be here and sharing with you this morning. I don't know. I mean, if you've been in this place before and you share in an experience like we have here at Northgate, and you step forward to speak, and you feel like everything that you wanted to say has been said. Our service this morning has been awesome in my eyes, and I just pray that the Lord would, through me, share even more to fill your hearts and to bless you. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord God, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your work that you did upon the cross, that you died, that you were buried, that you rose again, that all of us might have assurance that you love us. I pray now, Lord, that the words of my heart and the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
And so, time being what it is, let's get right to it. I want to turn to the Gospel of Mark in the 10th chapter. Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter. And we will begin reading at the 17th verse. Excuse me. If you have a say, amen. The word reads as thus, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, we spoke a little bit about, our pastor did, the election, and America, certainly this congregation being prayerful. for our future. It's often said that America is at a crossroads. You hear that a lot. That this is the most important decision ever. That outcomes of the election will be big and consequential. The results will be bright or they will be brutal. We are concerned as Americans that emails might do us in, that our current government is problems, that we need solutions that are huge. That we are, in fact, in need of solutions that will make America great again. As we approach this Friday, Veterans Day, we citizens in this great country of ours believe that either individual liberties are being stifled, or we believe that segments of society, pieces of our demographic, have been treated for far too long as chattel, being disenfranchised, not being a part of America's great promise. That if in fact we don't have a centralized federal America or centralized federal government, that many people will not have access to many of the opportunities that America affords. Now, I understand that none of you came this morning to hear a civics lesson. But I have been praying, and I hope you with me, that God has an answer. And he sent me to the Gospels in order to find answers for what might be troubling you on this morning. And I'd say that he didn't send me to the Pauline epistles, where we would find doctrine, where we would find instruction and guidance, but he sent me to the Gospels, where we might find children's church more apt to take them up than the adults in church this morning. But anyway, we read what it is that we find here in Mark, the 10th chapter. And in the 20th verse, we have the Word of God saying to us, "Master, I have observed all these things." And you would not know just from the reading in this passage that this man was a young man. That he was a rich man, we were able to discern from reading this. But he was also a ruler. And so we have here a rich ruler. And if your spirit will allow you, I wish you would say, "I see America." Rich ruler, "I see America." Now, you might be saying to yourself this morning, "I am no ruler. I certainly am not rich." But I want you to encourage yourself and say, "Just as I have, I give unto you." If you have read the Gospels, you know that one of the disciples, having been approached and asked for some part of his riches, he said, "Just as I have, I give unto you." He was saying, "I didn't have riches. I don't have a financial blessing for you. But as I have, I give unto you." And I think all of us as Christians should be aware of the fact that God is asking us to, as you have, share with others. just as I have, I give unto you. And that makes you a ruler. Your id, your ego, your body, your emotions, your spirit, your mind. You have control over those things. It makes you a ruler. And God expects for you, such as you have, to share with others. I want us to turn and really take a look at verse number 21. It says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. The thing that occurred to me reading this scripture was that God knows our hearts. He knows our intent. He knows our desire. He knows exactly what our devotion is. And so he was able to tap into this young, rich ruler and discover that his devotion was not the Lord our God, but he was devoted to his finances and his rulership. He wasn't asked to continue on in the stead that he had gone all this way to make him successful all his way. He asked him to sell what he had and be devoted to the cross. Take up your cross and follow me. God is able to see exactly where you are, to know exactly what it is that is driving you. Whether it be possession, whether it be your social standing, whether it be your rulership in this society, God is able to discern. And what he is letting us know, in simple terms in this one, is that your devotion should be to me. Amen. Your devotion has to be to God. Amen. And as our pastor said, perhaps God is showing judgment upon America. Perhaps we have been caught up in too much of its systems and its way to success and to its own glory, that we have been setting God aside. It doesn't matter which of the systems you look at, be they financial, be they the criminal justice system, be that our social justice system, be it our political system. In all these ways, America, having been found on great precepts and the Word of God and following God and setting a path for America that will be in God, perhaps now at this crossroads, we find ourselves shunning God. And God is on the outside. Look at our education system. Look at our financial system. I think it is nowhere beyond the dollar where it says, in God we trust, do we find that message. Our criminal justice system doesn't know the love of God and the mercy of God. We are challenged in the way we deal with each other socially to realize God. I take from the testimonies that we heard this morning that it is a wonderful thing to see God in operation. It is we that are charged with making sure that God's operation, that we bring heaven to earth.
Amen. That's right.
That we bring God's authority and His rule, His values,
Amen.
His virtue.
Amen.
That we bring them to earth so that we see them in operation.
Amen.
We had one stand this morning, almost in tears, having experienced the love of God. Another to stand imploring the women of this church to come and see the love of God.
Amen.
And I want to say this morning that it is not an event.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
In which we should see God working.
Amen.
It's not a conference in which we should realize that God is a part of our lives, that He wants to be engaged, that He wants to walk with us and talk with us and tell us that we're His own.
Amen.
It is in our everyday living that we're supposed to be taking up our cross.
Amen.
And living lives of God.
Amen.
So that others will taste and see.
Amen.
Just how good the Lord God is.
Amen.
And through all of these systems, perhaps we have found a devotion that leaves out the Lord our God. And that is what He is pointing out. God in His word here says, "Why callest me good?" He wasn't trying to separate Himself from God. We know that He is in fact God. The point He was making is, if you call me good, then recognize who I am. Recognize that I do have all authority. Recognize that I came not to overlord you, but to serve. And just as I have done it, you should too. Pick up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
He says here in verse 21.
Amen.
Now He goes on to say, and He said at that saying, and went away grieved. We're talking about the rich young ruler now. Went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto His disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at His words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" It is a matter in who we trust. I think that once upon a time there was a reason we put "in God we trust" on the bills. But now we're sort of trusting in these systems, in the way the financial system works, in the way the criminal justice system works, trying to hoard riches and possession so that we will always be secure. But I heard in the word He said, "I have the gold and the silver is mine. Upon 1,000 hills."
Amen. Amen.
"The riches are mine, saith the Lord. If I will not pour ye out a blessing that you have room not to receive." Our trust is misplaced. And that is the reason for the fear. That is the reason for the fighting. That is the reason why we cannot find agreement in our political discourse. Because one wants to rule over the other and assure for themselves a future. When all we want and all we need is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All we want and all we need is in the Lord our God. It is in the Lord God we should trust. Not in mammon. Not in man. Not in an election. Not in the president.
That's right.
It is in God we should trust.
Amen.
He said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And I remember this in my experience of what would be children's church and kids' church. And I'm thinking to myself, a camel, having learned, you know, the hump on the back and how large it really is, fit through the eye of a needle? And of course, I'm thinking my mom and sewing and fitting through that hole. And I guess that gets the point across. But what I did learn with studying is that every word of God here in the Bible has content. Context, I should say. Context and an audience. And we should read all that we read, understanding to whom God was speaking and the context in which he was saying it. And so he was talking to his listeners. Here, the rich ruler and the disciples, and saying that the camel that carries all of your possession cannot fit through the hole to the city.
That's right.
That is guarded and is closed after hours. You won't be able to fit through that with all of the baggage that the camel would hold. You'd have to take it off in order to get the camel through that small way into the village. You can't carry all the baggage that you want to carry and follow God. You can't hold up the systems and its way of devotion and expect that you will understand and live the word of God. It is easier for that camel to get through than someone who is rich, holding on to possession, holding on to their idolatry, seeking a way to secure their future without the Lord our God. You cannot do it that way, the Lord God said. And then he goes on to say, with men it is impossible, but not with God. With men it is impossible. The answers that we are looking for, even the answers that we expect to come with man or woman elected to the House, Congress, Senate, all the answers that we are looking for there, they can't be found there. That is not where the victory is won.
Amen.
Surely someone will win this Tuesday's election, but that is not where we find our victory.
Amen. Amen.
Whichever man or woman goes up or down, I'm still going to be all right. Whatever policy they have or don't have, whatever platform it is that they've been sharing or not sharing, I have a whole word of God. I have a promise. And what's more, I have his presence. You needn't be dissuaded. You needn't be persuaded. Surely as citizens, what does he say? Render unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. Surely we stay engaged. In fact, to the extent possible, in our workplace, in our dealings with those that we come in contact with. We display the Word of God.
Amen.
We display the justice of God.
Amen.
We display the grace of God.
Amen.
It is through those means that we change America.
Amen.
And we make America great.
Amen.
America was never great unless God was in it.
Amen.
God was never in it unless He intended to make it great.
Amen.
He intended to make it good. He says here, "Why do you call me good?" Why do we call God good if in fact we can't live Him in our civics? If we can't share Him in our social justice? If we're unable on the workplace to show forth the light of God, somebody should be able to see it if they see you.
Amen.
Somebody ought to know the love of God if they know you.
Amen.
I believe the world needs more love.
Amen.
And the world will know more love if we the church of God, if we the people of God, if we share it.
Amen.
We are that light.
That's right.
I heard someone say,
right,
upon a hill.
Amen.
We are in fact the salt of the earth.
Amen.
We preserve whatever there is of God. We are the remnant. Heaven is not brought to earth unless, in fact, we live the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Unless we live the kingdom of God, it is not brought to earth. Folks won't see it. They won't taste it. They don't know what it is unless we show it to them. And so, Jesus said, "With God, all things are possible."
Amen.
Then Peter said to him, "Lo, we have left all, and we have followed thee." And Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's." Then he doubles down. He says, "But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the world to come, eternal life." You will have a blessing now in the kingdom if you devote yourself to God. None shall see God except you believe. That's how people can scoff at you and wonder how it is that you say what you say, why you are not taking up some weapon or some food and shelter and preparing for the apocalypse right now. I struggled for the words just now, but I read so much in social media of folks that are calling for the end, that there will be great strife if in fact the one wins and the other doesn't, or the other wins and this one doesn't. And how in the midst of all of that can you have peace? How in that storm can you find the eye? God is a shelter in the midst of the storm. He is our strong arm. He is our battle axe. He is our provision and He is our protector. So much so that I can, as the Word encourages me to, I can in all things, not for all things, people, but I can in all things give thanks.
Amen.
Whether I have little
Amen.
Or I have much.
Amen.
Whether I'm bond or free, I can give thanks to God
Amen.
In all things.
Amen.
He has given me, what'd you say, Brother Locke? Assurance. He said, I had mansions for you. If it were not so, I would not have told you. There is assurance when you have God. He can keep you in the midst of a storm.
Amen.
He is able to do all things.
Right.
He said, with God, you can be healed.
Hallelujah.
With God, you can provide provision.
Amen.
With God, there is protection. What can they do to me? What can the enemy say?
Amen.
What can the enemy do?
Amen.
If I am not here, then I am present with the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
I have all the promises I need to be able to take every step that I take on the earth, living it devoted
Amen.
To the Lord our God.
Amen.
And then he says in verse 31, he says, but many that are first shall be last, and last first.
Hallelujah.
And that's another one for kids' church. But many that are first shall be last, and last first. And at first, when you think of it, you say, the last or first, and I was the first, and I'll be last. And it says in several places in the Gospels, the last shall be first, and the first last. And of course, I sought the Lord, and He showed me what might be the clearest example of what it is that God intends when He shares that. And I'm going to flip to Matthew, the 20th chapter. And read at the first verse. Matthew 20. Where it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. That means he's a landowner. Which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Now, just I pause there to say it's not a penny, not as we know it in American U.S. currency, but it was about a day's labor. Okay? Translated here, penny. In the Greek, it's denarius. But that's essentially what they would work for this landowner, a day's worth of wages everyone that had agreed with him when he sought laborers for the vineyard. In verse 3, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. They said unto him, Because no man hath hired us. Now, in the picture that we see here in this passage, you get one thing fairly simple. They were standing idle because no man hath hired us. Some folks aren't working because no man hath hired us. Some men aren't working because no man hath hired them. There are folks that don't know the Lord God because no one has shared it with them. There are folks that are going around doing the things of the world, adopting the world's way,
Amen.
Being idle where the things of God are concerned, because no one has shared with them the kingdom of God. The U.S. is getting, as you say, Pastor, what it deserves. To have written so many wonderful things under one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Man, when I hear that today, pow! Yes, sir. Under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's godly. That's the Bible paraphrased.
Amen.
I am happy to hear that. I am happy to stand for that. But it says here, in the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why standeth thee here? Because no one hath hired us. Then he says, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Verse 8, So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire. Begin from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, that's at the last minute. That's at the last minute. I've been working all day in the sun, out here in the vineyard, and the ones after the day is gone, the night has fallen. You want to call them first? The Bible says, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a day's wages.
Hallelujah.
But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a day's wages. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. It's interesting how the Bible says good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give into this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? It is not our kingdom. It is not our word.
Amen.
It is not our promise. It is not our work. Even at today's table, a man stood here and cried, understanding that righteousness is not his own. Neither is righteousness our own, but it is the gift of God. It is the grace of God. There is nothing that we could do to earn it. There is nothing that we could do to keep it. The good man does with it what he will. And so in verse 16 he says, so the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Here in Matthew, this story is told as it is told in the other Gospels. But just a few verses down from here, a mother asks a question of the Lord God. And as is good for kids' church, I believe it's good for us. And so, to close, I'm going to read just a few more verses of Scripture. And in verse 20, it says, then came to him the mother of Zebedee, the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these two may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Rulership, authority. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. And those of us sitting on this side, we know exactly what Jesus is driving at, but perhaps they don't know just yet. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And I thought this is where things started really getting interesting. And he said, when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. So they got mad with the two brothers, the sons of Zebedee. But Jesus called unto them and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. That should bring thoughts of what our America, what our oligarchy is like. With this great America, with its great precepts and its great power, it says they exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister.
Hallelujah.
And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant.
Amen.
In the Greek, that's diakonos. That's where we get the word deacon. It says, whosoever shall be great among you shall be your servant, shall be your minister. Those are the ones that should set justice and rule, and the method even by which we treat one another. Those that choose to be servants and ministers.
Wow.
It says in verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. If we are looking for great leadership, if we are looking for chiefs, if we are looking for rulers, I'm asking that you leave today looking to no one other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And if you're looking for a way to govern yourself and to treat your fellow man, to care for one another, even as Jesus cared for us, it says that he came not to be ministered unto, the world doesn't owe you anything. And quite frankly, the world has nothing that you want. Don't get all in a hullabaloo, maxed out, threatened by, overly concerned with the things of the world. All we want and all we need is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is victory. He's everything that we need. We need only govern ourselves with that in mind. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Say amen. Say amen.